First in our Bill of Rights is the freedom to hear uncensored ideas and opinions, to think your own thoughts, and to say what's on your mind. We couldn't have liberty without it. Now, more than ever, it's good to spout off, to listen, debate, and participate. Here's your host of Spouting Off, commentator, columnist, and all-around rabble-rouser, Karen Cataline.
You're listening to Karen Cataline as a regular guest host of the nationally syndicated Alan Nathan Show on the Main Street Radio Network.
Now, the one who protects us all from prattling prognosticators and perfidious pundits.
I say, America, stay out the bushes.
Look for the union label.
And to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the government.
From my cold, dead hands.
I'm concerned that if we don't impeach this president, he will get reelected.
It's time for the Alan Nathan Show. Here he is, the longest-running nationally syndicated centrist host in the country, Alan Nathan.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to the Alan Nathan Show. I'm Karen Cataline, filling in for today. I look forward to all our guests. But when I saw this one, I thought, boy, this is right on the money. And here we have a co-author of the New York Times number one bestseller, A Patriot's History of the United States, a best-selling homeschool history textbook in America. Boy, do we need that. He also founded the Wild World of History curriculum website. His latest book, may not be quite latest, but boy, do we need it, A Patriot's History of Globalism, Its Rise and Decline. Dr. Larry Schweikart joins us right now on the Alan Nathan Show. Hi, Dr. Schweikart. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thank you. And yes, it is my most recent. It just came out a few weeks ago.
Okay, I'm glad it's updated. Every once in a while we don't. But you know what? It sounds very new because this is now a part of the American lexicon of people watching this saying, wait a minute, there are mad people watching really bad sci-fi movies. Dr. Evil saying, you know, we're going to do this and we're going to do this and this is how you're going to live. And the whole notion of an individual being in charge of their own life, it seems like they missed that chapter in history, obviously, or they were never taught. And of course, it's always great to have people appoint themselves Lord and Master over the rest of us. You say that the attempt to form a one world government is nothing new in history. Please educate us.
Yeah, it's you might want to go back to the Tower of Babel, but even later, I start with the Congress of Vienna in 1814 and bring it up through the Versailles peace talks in 1919, then through the UN, which people don't realize that there was a strong effort at the UN to have scientists placed in control of all atomic bombs and all atomic energy because they didn't think governments and people could control them. So you just want Bill Gates in charge of atomic energy, right?
He sure is acting like he's in charge, but nobody elected him to anything. I'm sorry, I just had to interject that. He's constantly giving speeches as if somebody elected him to something. I don't get that.
Yeah. He's a legend in his own mind. But anyway, we come up through medical globalism with the China virus vax and with celebrity globalism here with the climate change agenda. And the really good news, I call this book part history and part hope. The good news is that they have failed every single time, often for different reasons, but they always fail. And I think they're on their heels right now.
Please give us some hard information about that, because I call it the curse of awareness. People who have seen this coming, perhaps before many others have, and are just shaken in their little boots because, you know, the another one of my slogans, the arsonists are in charge of the fire brigade right now. And so I want to understand the good news. Please lay on us a lot of good news, hard
sure.
facts
okay,
that we can
just
point to.
We just had some more good news today. Let's start with the political realm. Countries are rejecting globalism. Today we had news that the new populist party in Portugal has gained a significant share of the government there and may end up being in contention for total power there. But we've seen El Salvador, we've seen Argentina, we've seen Hungary, we've seen Italy. We've seen Slovakia, all across the board, except for Finland and Poland, we've started to see a movement toward more populist governments. And of course, that would be continued if President Trump gets reelected. But you also have to look at people that sometimes we don't like very much, such as Xi or Putin. These guys are not globalists. The Chi Coms don't mind globalism if they're in charge of the whole globalist network, which doesn't sit too well with Davos.
And could that be? I don't know. I'm pure speculation. I've wondered why the Democrats loved the Soviet Union when it was communist, and when it's less communist. And maybe they don't like globalism and dictators telling them what to do, then suddenly, and they won't go along with the great reset and the little red button, maybe suddenly that's why they're blaming everything and all the world's problems on Russia. Not to say Russia's great. What do you say about that?
You know, I give you a gold star. You are the first host, the first person I've talked to in 2 years that got that concept, that Russia became the enemy the moment it stopped being communist. If you recall, I don't know if you're old enough to recall, but prior to when communism fell in the Soviet Union, liberals loved the Soviet Union. Ted Kennedy couldn't wait to go over there and celebrate how wonderful they were. But once communism fell, all of a sudden Russia's an evil country. They haven't changed all that much, although they are a more Christian country now. They are a more family-oriented country
shame.
Now. And of course, this doesn't sit well with the Davos crowd at all.
See, you know, that's how I look at things. I'm not a great student of history, but when I see people change their stripes, I don't know, from what they thought last Thursday, I usually start asking questions, why the change? I could give you a list of them about, you know, leftists used to be beautify America. Now you can poop on the street and have to step over, you know, syringes and tent cities. I think they maybe litter a little bit.
But let me give you a great, great example. I mean, this is gonna knock your socks off. In World War II, just prior, we're talking May 1941, just prior to the German invasion of Russia, the entire left was in favor of staying out of the war, right? And they would march with placards that said, no war in the U.S. As soon as Hitler invaded Russia, they literally, in one case, were marching. And when they heard the news, they turned their placards around and wrote, save the Soviet Union, get in the war now.
It does knock my socks off. And yet, there are people who believe, this is a, I guess, a side comment, the same propaganda media that have been lying to them consistently for so very long and more brazen than ever. Give us some more good news. What can, for people who don't want to get out of bed in the morning, people who can't sleep at night, it always seems to be bad sleep. What can you tell us? Because we want to see America free again in our lifetimes, but it's not looking terribly bright without a true miracle or something else. Give us some more if you can.
Okay, so this is all, of course, from my book, A Patriot's History of Globalism, Its Rise and Decline. I didn't say its rise and fall. It's rise and decline. And here's some good news from abroad. First of all, George Soros has pulled completely out of Europe. He wasn't having success there. Number two, Davos. Who attended Davos this year? Nobody. None of the major leaders attended Davos, not Italy, not France, obviously not Russia, not China, not India. You know who did go? Javier Milei of Argentina, who read them the Riot Act. He said, you guys are a bunch of socialists. What was Davos' slogan this year? Restoring trust. Yeah, good luck with that one. and then we can jump to some other things, such as here in the United States, for example. President Trump hasn't been in office for 3.5 years, but his courts have been active. And we've seen the U.S. Supreme Court and the appeals courts consistently slapping down the deep state and reversing the deep state. The West Virginia versus the EPA, for example, or Jarchese versus the SEC, or the Brown gun decision, or the Dobbs decision. Wherever you look, the courts are being very active in rolling back the deep state. And by all accounts, everybody agrees they're probably going to overturn the Chevron doctrine. Now, for those uninitiated, and I am not a lawyer, but all my lawyer friends tell me this is huge, because the Chevron doctrine is the notion that once Congress establishes a bureau, let's say the Bureau of Wokeness, that bureau has basically the authority to determine its own powers to the point of even arming its own agents, right? Well, the Chevron doctrine is about to be overturned, and they're saying that's a vast overreach. You have no more power except what we give you.
They've got a track record now. They know, you know, if you get armed IRS agents, anything is possible. So, Dr. Larry Schweikart, I loved this. How can people get your book?
On Amazon, or you can go to my website, which is wildworldofhistory.com. We have great package offers there.
Can't wait to talk to you again, Dr. Larry Schweikart. We got to take a quick break. We'll be back on the Alan Nathan Show right after this.
A charming new children's book about a young girl in Jamaica who loves fixing cars with her granddad arrives today. The Blue Pickup by Natasha Triplett is a heartwarming layered story featuring beautiful illustrations by Monica Mackay. The Blue Pickup tells the story of Jew Girl, whose favorite days are spent with her granddad in his garage, fixing cars and hearing stories about his old blue pickup. Granddad used to drive the blue pickup all over the island, bringing happiness to many, but now it just sits in the driveway. One day, Jew Girl asked Granddad if he'd ever fix it, and he's unsure at first, but the pair soon finds out just what it takes to restore the memory of the blue pickup and to create new stories along the way. Author Natasha Triplett.
This book is about the joy of repairing things with our hands and preserving stories with our hearts. I hope it inspires young readers to find the right tools that allow them to take pride in hard work.
The new children's book, The Blue Pickup, is now available wherever books are sold.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Alan Nathan Show. I'm Karen Cataline, filling in for Alan today. And next up, we're going to talk a little Second Amendment to you, because it is integral to what we've been talking about. Here to talk about that is Chief Editor of the Second Amendment Foundation's Investigative Reporting Project. He is a frequent contributor to Ammo Land and Armed American Radio. He's also known as the Gun Writer, and he's been writing about firearms issues for 10 years. Lee Williams joins us right now on the Alan Nathan Show.
How you doing, Karen? Thank you for the invite. It's good to be here.
Well, it's great to have you. You're here to talk about something pretty specific, and boy, that's good, because the Second Amendment, it's everywhere, these issues. It's always the people that have bad intentions that want to disarm law-abiding citizens. But I digress. An Ohio representative has attempted to demonize guns in order to get elected, and I think you say this may come back to haunt him at the polls. Tell us more about that.
I couldn't agree more. One of the tools that the left uses is labeling. And they, you know, a small handgun is a Saturday night special. A very popular rifle, the most popular rifle in the country, the AR-15, of which I have several in my gun safes, they'll, of course, call an assault weapon. Standard capacity magazines, they call high capacity magazines. Well, this State Rep Willis E. Blackshear Jr. has taken the, quote, assault weapon label one step further. He now calls them, and I quote, mass casualty weapons, saying that they are used in crime and that they, therefore they should be banned, of course, because that's their only response is to ban things. They do not like the fact that law-abiding Americans rely upon these great tools for self-defense. I rely upon one for my self-defense and that of my family, I should acknowledge. But, you know, this is taking it way, way, way too far. My ARs haven't caused any mass casualties. As a matter of fact, there are millions, probably around 140 to 150 million ARs in this country that similarly have not caused mass casualties. Yet this good lawmaker in Ohio wants to use this label as an attempt to draw attention to himself, to make some headlines by using alarming terminology.
Well, they've been doing that for a long time. If it's a black gun, yeah, it must be bad. I don't know why anybody didn't call that racist. I mean, but that's another story. How do you think it's going to backfire on him at the polls?
Well, if you removed a couple of cities from Ohio, you'd have a very red state. It would be dark red were it not for Columbus and Cincinnati and some of the other blue cities. And Ohio, thankfully, has the Buckeye Firearms Association, which is very good, very big, and very active. And trust me, I've been on their podcasts regularly. They are not going to take this lightly. They are going to go out and fight against what this guy is trying to do. I mean, come on, an assault weapon ban? Now, it's not going to happen. But once again, we see this post-Bruin crap. Of course, 2022 Supreme Court issued the incredible Bruin decision, which says you have a right to keep a firearm, carry a firearm concealed for self-defense. And if they want to try and ban something or pass any other gun law, they have to find a similar law that was in effect during the founding era. And of course, they had no firearm bans back then. So this thing fails a constitutional sniff test, according to Bruin. But that hasn't stopped the left from proposing this type of litigation. Matter of fact, it's increased it. We're seeing these post-Bruin tantrum laws cropping up in all of these blue states and blue areas because they can't handle what Bruin told them to do.
Yeah, and a lot of us lay people look at the Supreme Court and, well, some decisions seem really rooted in the Constitution, like the last one about a week ago, that's nine actual unanimously said, you know what? You can't really corrupt our elections by taking people off the ballot you don't like. There's nothing election interference about that, by the way. But what a lot of other people aren't always so confident in the current Supreme Court. What do you think about guns and the Supreme Court, the Second Amendment?
Well, I know we have an assault weapon case, and I put that terminology in finger quotes. We're pushing for the Supreme Court to take up an assault weapon case, and I'm sure they will, because right now your ability to defend yourself depends upon your zip code. Yeah. I have the ability to buy and bear the best tool there is, in my humble opinion, for self-defense, and that's an AR-15. But people in California, New York, Massachusetts, they don't have that same right because of where they live. And the Supreme Court isn't going to let that stand for very long. They have been deaf on similar laws that penalized people who lived in public housing communities, who the states would ban guns, everything in these communities. The Supreme Court has said, no, you can't do that. So I think
what
it's
about
just a matter
women?
Of time.
I mean, they claim to be so champions of women. And, you know, much unlike they think, women are usually smaller, lighter than men. And this is the great equalizer, but they're against it.
It is a great equalizer. And that's why right now the number one demographic of the number one gun buying demographic are black females, you know, who are tired of living in their homes, trapped in their homes by crime. I've talked to so many, you know, woman from Chicago said she sees drug deals on her front porch, right outside her front door. So she has armed herself. And, you know, there's story after story after story. And they are a great equalizer. You can take all the self-defense you want, But women are generally smaller than men and not as strong. I'm generalizing here, of course. So, you know,
we shouldn't have to feel guilty about saying it either.
I know.
Go ahead.
But a pistol is a great equalizer, and it doesn't matter what their size is. So, yeah, we strongly, strongly support all people, all color, race, creeds, whatever, buying and arming themselves and getting themselves professionally trained.
Law-abiding citizens. That's the part.
Ma'am.
Every time somebody commits a crime with a gun, they go after law-abiding citizens. It's like clockwork. We are almost out of time. Tell everybody more about, very quickly, the Second Amendment Foundation investigative reporting arm and how people can find you.
You can read everything I write at saf.org, saf.org. SAF is in Second Amendment Foundation. Or you can go to my website, thegunwriter.substack.com. And Second Amendment Foundation is the only pro-gun group right now with an investigatory arm, and we are kind of proud of that.
Well, it's interesting. We didn't used to think we needed investigative reporting on something that is supposedly so matter-of-fact, but it's not, the Second Amendment, that basically that tells you exactly. We apparently do need an investigative reporter to uncover some of these issues. You're doing a great job. Lee Williams, chief editor of the Second Amendment Foundation's Investigative Reporting Project. Thank you so much for joining us. Keep up the great work. Well, we are pressing right along. We'll discuss the State of the Union address when we get back. Don't go away. This is the Alan Nathan Show on the Main Street Radio Network.
So when we're setting up stuff for the new year, we've come in with a lot of energy. It's good to level set, take a step back, relax just a little bit, think about the small things that we can do, that we can fit into our life right now and do them very, very well. That's the key, sustainability. So I would start with using a tracking app. That way you know what you're bringing in and what you're bringing out. MyFitnessPal is a great option for that. It's gonna help build sustainable habits over time. And to help with that, the nutritionists over at MyFitnessPal, along with Kate Hudson, have developed the Small Steps, Big Wins plan. This is a 7-day challenge that gives you the little steps that you need to build that foundation so you can meet your goals. You can go straight to the Apple App Store and the Google Play Store, download MyFitnessPal, and get started.
CES is always a proving ground for breakthrough technologies and global innovators, and I'm working with some great brands to share the latest and greatest. The S8 Max V Ultra from Roborock is redefining how we clean our homes. The deep cleaning capabilities and self-maintenance features make cleaning more convenient. Online protection experts McAfee have unveiled their new AI-powered deepfake audio detection technology. Known as Project Mockingbird, this technology will be a reliable resource for consumers amidst the rise of malicious AI-generated material online. Tonies are a great screen-free educational toy option for children. Pop any of the Tonies on top of the Tony box, and they'll play a variety of stories, songs, and lessons that can develop children's emotional intelligence with age-appropriate tech. The X-Real Air 2 Pro AR glasses are a great option for gaming, working at a desk, or incorporating augmented reality apps into your day-to-day life. And because they look like normal sunglasses, they'll fit right into your pocket and blend seamlessly into your day. For more, check out StephanieHumphrey.com.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably? It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, now tell me what to do. Cannonball! Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp. I can probably hit the green from here.
Probably.
Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay.
Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
I was in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean when it happened. There was a sudden jolt and our submarine crashed on the seafloor. We were in total darkness.
That's Dr. Dejana Figueroa, a marine biologist and STEM teacher, talking about a deep sea dive she'll never forget.
It's funny. When I was a kid, I was afraid of the ocean. And there I was, 2 miles below the surface. But as a scientist, you prepare for that. Using our training and a little creativity, we fixed the sub and finished our experiments. The dive was just too important. Every dive gives us glimpses at things few people ever get to see. Glowing creatures, fiery undersea volcanoes. When we got back to the surface, I kissed the ground and called my mom, of course. But you know what? I wouldn't trade that dive for anything.
Dr. Figueroa uses her passion for STEM to discover new things and make the world a better place. She can STEM, so can you. Check out She Can STEM for more stories and inspiration. A message from the Ad Council.
China is flooding our country with illegal, disposable, flavored vapes marketed towards kids. Here's Fentanyl Fathers co-founder Greg Swan with a message for parents.
Reuters is reporting that a new breed of vapes from China has confounded regulators while offering flavors like blue cotton candy to attract America's youth, with the possibility that these products can be laced with deadly fentanyl. Enforcement agencies at the local, state, and federal levels need to get these illegal products off shelves.
Sponsored by Fentanyl Fathers.
I'm Maria Brous, Director of Media and Community Relations for Publix Supermarkets. Every baby deserves the best possible start, but not all babies get one. March of Dimes is changing that. You can help us lead the fight for the health of all moms and babies. Join me and Publix to March for Babies. Let's raise funds and be champions for families near and far. Together, we're building a brighter future. Sign up for Publix's team today at marchforbabies.org.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Alan Nathan Show. I'm Karen Cataline, filling in for Alan today. If you'd like to contact me, you can do so at KarenCataline.com. That's all you got to know. And you'll find out what I've been up to on the radio and elsewhere. We are delighted to have with us Marine Corps and Army Special Forces Combat Disabled Veteran. He's a former congressional candidate and co-founder of Prepper All Nationals, Naturals, not Nationals, Naturals, Jason Storm Nelson joins us right now on the Alan Nathan Show. Hi, Jason. Good to have you.
Thank you so much for having me. And I forgive me if I make one small correction, not special forces, special operations. There's a distinct difference and I never want to steal any valor. And I apologize for giving that information.
And I will let them know. And that's one of the great things about our military. They have honor and they don't grab credit where credit is not due, and they don't blame other people when they make mistakes. And we had a State of the Union address, and thank you for that, by the way, this past week, where members of Congress brought immigration guests to the State of the Union, and you had some thoughts about that you wanted to share with us, didn't you?
You know, it's always interesting to me whenever I watch the State of the Union, and what I try to do is take away any sort of preconceived notions about what people are going to say or my vitriol I might have for the Biden regime, and just listen to what they say, right? And when you listen to what Biden said, you listen throughout the entire thing, and you realize that beyond the fact that he's constantly claiming for, you know, calling for big government solutions and other things like that. But as they went through the problem solution aspect of that, it seemed to me that if you were to take every one of those problems and just isolate them and then say, okay, well, who caused that problem? And every answer you come to is the Biden administration. The Biden regime has been responsible for every one of these magical fixes they suddenly have an answer for. And I love that they have. I mean, look at the irony in the very beginning, and we'll get away from the border for about a half a second. He opened talking about Roe v. Wade by going into the woman who was trying to have IVF in order to have more children. And he brought up a very, you know, it's a valid point that IVF should be available to women. but then turned around and tried to compare that to why we need Roe v. Wade to be passed. So think about that. Let's celebrate this woman is working so hard to create a life, and then in the same breath say, let's do everything we can to end as many lives as possible.
Yeah,
and
but notice seems- also – sorry, go ahead, really.
No, go
sorry.
Ahead. No, please, you go ahead.
Notice also that the implication was is that people who happen to be pro-life don't want people to have in vitro fertilization.
Correct. And
right? That's false. That's not true.
Well, in special operations, one of the things that we do in civil affairs was to specialize on not only creating simple solutions for complex problems, but the understanding that what you have is called a measure of effectiveness. And very briefly, a measure of effectiveness says the decision I made, the solution we implemented, here's how we will know if it worked. But then in case you have first, second, and third order effects, and you also have what we call unintended consequences. Unintended consequences happen when you have a legislature that actively thinks that somehow creating legislation means they're being effective, when I would argue that if Congress never passed a single legislation, they were probably the most successful Congress of all time. But uh-huh. What they do is they say, okay, look, there was this unintended consequence. Yeah, Alabama saw that it was an unintended consequence, and they fixed it. And for them to champion that as, well, you had this unintended consequence when trying to save millions of lives, and it affected some people who were also trying to create life, and we said, yeah, we saw that. We're going to fix that. But it doesn't change the fact that your large government solution ends in more babies dying. Like, that's just lost on them, and I'm just shocked by it. But it applies to the border when you look at it, and they continually talk about the border as though, you know, this border crisis, if we just process these people more, you know, if we just let them in faster and gave them court dates and got them into those court dates faster, well, gosh, that would have kept that young woman, Lake and Riley, from being murdered. And you go, yeah. That doesn't
nonsense.
Track with the average American. We do understand that it's nonsense, and we do understand. I mean, it's like them asking for 80,000 more Venezuelans to come here under amnesty. And I thought, well, isn't Venezuela a socialist paradise? That's what you guys keep saying. Well,
and they make sure amnesty? They don't want anti-communist Cubans. A couple of years ago, there were a whole bunch of anti-communist Cubans, and suddenly they became anti-illegal immigration, or they became anti-immigration of Cubans who happen to be against communism, right? There's
no
agenda there. Come on, Jason.
We'll take the Venezuelan criminals because that's who Venezuela is sending up. I mean, look, these people aren't paying. The governments who are sending people over, and they are governments, you know, you don't send a political prisoner and terrorist from Azerbaijan doesn't jump on a plane the next day when he gets out of prison. That's a sponsored trip. And so we see these things happening, and you go, when President Trump talks about they're sending their worst, look, I'm sure there are good people, but if they were really truly good people, they would cross using amnesty and using the existing laws we have in effect. But when you talk about the majority of them and how they're being processed and sent here, there's no question that there's desire on behalf of those host countries who send them here to get rid of them. They don't want them there. So if they were their best and brightest, well, we should probably send them back so we can help that country, right? And if they're not their best and brightest, and it's an autocratic regime getting rid of them, something tells me they aren't political dissidents who, you know, are just good people who they want to get rid of. No, it's quite the opposite. There are people who are bad people. And I don't know why now the government, Biden, comes out and says all of this during the State of the Union as though the big problem here is that, my goodness, we just need a larger administrative state. Not maybe I could rescind the 94 executive orders I put out in my first 100 days and maybe create a safe border.
Doesn't this smack of the famous wraparound smear from Nancy Pelosi? You create the problem, you blame others for the problem, your enemies, but then you prescribe the solution that you really wanted all along, that you had to create the problem in order to justify. Am I wrong?
Absolutely. And that every single problem that I've seen come up over the last 3 years has been the direct result of bad policies within liberal urban areas and just the largesse of the Democrat Party. We have children who are years behind in education. And by the way, they can blame the pandemic all they want, but it's not as though Baltimore schools were the top in the nation prior to COVID, right? They lock down these areas. You're talking about areas where it costs more to send kids to school than it would to send them to Villanova, right? I mean, the elementary school kids who cost more per capita than it would to send them to a private university. And the results that come from that are just horrible Democrat policies. They were able to use COVID to cover it up, but it's still the same thing. Our education standards are at rock bottom, and these are Democrat policies that led to this.
Well, and it's hard to argue that they want well-educated kids. They spend so much time indoctrinating them and de-educating them about what America is, what America stands for. It seems as if, I mean, it's fair to ask, are the things we're watching them do exactly what they want? It gets really tiresome to see people ascribe good intentions to people who clearly don't appear to have good intentions. What do you think?
Well, let's jump right on the first one that they just did. They're now pushing for preschool to 3 and 4 year olds. And their argument is that it shows that children who are 3 and 4 years old who enter preschool, regardless of their background, have a higher level of education by a certain age. Well, first of all, what you're really saying is let's put now we want 3 year olds in our indoctrination camps. They've made it very clear they don't want our input when it comes to what's being taught to them, correct?
No, parents are domestic terrorists if they disagree with pornography on grade school shelves.
Absolutely. So they've already told us they don't want us involved, but they do want our children. Then you ask yourself, well, who finds themselves in a position where they need to put a 3-year-old in constant care, in daycare for 10 hours a day? Well, that's because they forced this notion that we need to have households where everyone is working 3 or 4 jobs, when in reality, that's the result of unstable households, men leaving the household and not sticking around, fathers. It's the result of bad policies, which have made mothers dependent on the government. There are so many factors that go into this, but every single one of them, the root of them is a Democrat policy that was supposedly put in place to help people, when in reality, it was a problem they created. And then they created this awful solution that all it did was make a welfare state. I mean, if you wanted American jobs here, then why did we create policies that sent them all to China?
You hear that music. I am delighted that you've decided to stay another segment. So we're going to have you back and we can continue and complete this conversation after the break. We're talking to Jason Storm Nelson. We're talking about immigration and a whole lot of things about the State of the Union. We'll be right back on The Alan Nathan Show right after this.
The Citizens Award program is one that we started here 25 years ago to honor the businesses that are taking the lead in solving the world's biggest challenges. And what we find they're really doing is using talent, their resources, really digging deep into the expertise they have as a company and putting that work for their communities. This year, we got to honor 11 organizations all over the country who are really making a difference in their communities. We cast a wide net. We've got 9 categories. We've got large business, small business, medium-sized business, civic organizations. And the breadth of what they're doing is just astonishing and inspiring. You've got companies like Medtronic, whose employees volunteered 190,000 hours in their communities last year. Please go to uschamberfoundation.org. You can take an idea and make it right for the place that you live and the people that you serve.
New federal data confirms that illegal, disposable, flavored e-cigarettes drive youth vaping. Here's former Office of National Drug Control Policy Director Gil Kerlikowski.
The latest data shows that Chinese-made illegal, disposable vapes marketed in youth-enticing flavors are pouring into our country. The DEA has warned that these illegal products can be laced with fentanyl. The FDA must increase enforcement action.
Sponsored by Communities United for Smart Policy.
Heart valve disease is more common than you or your doctor may think, especially as you get older. It's serious but treatable with the proper diagnosis. If you or a loved one are experiencing shortness of breath, fatigue, chest tightness or pressure, dizziness or fainting, talk to your doctor and ask for an echocardiogram to get diagnosed early and enjoy your best quality of life. Learn more at askforecho.com. That's ask, the number 4, echo.com.
My name is Judy Teeter, and I'm the mother of three boys. My youngest, Joe, was a great kid. He loved sports, music, and his youth group. One day, Joe asked me to drive him to an after-school event, which was about a mile from our home. I was driving through a green light when a car in cross traffic ran a red light and drove right into the side of our car, killing Joe. The driver was talking on her phone, so she never even saw the red light. She was so absorbed in her phone call. Before the crash, I didn't realize just talking on a cell phone while driving was so dangerous. Now it's something I think about every day. According to the National Safety Council, about 1 in 4 car crashes involves a cell phone. Hands-free is no safer. When you're behind the wheel, put away your phone, for Joe and for the thousands of needless deaths every year. Remember, there is no safe way to talk on a cell phone while driving. Find out more at nsc.org/callskill.
It may be hard to believe, but people just like you are already saving money. FeedThePig.org makes it easy. Their simple savings plan teaches you how to start saving without going overboard. So you don't need to ditch the car and start rollerblading to work.
I look ridiculous.
You look ridiculous!
You don't need to start foraging wild berries.
I was skeptical, but these are actually pretty good.
You don't need to sell your organs on the black market.
Lie back. This is gonna hurt.
Yeah, that hurts.
You don't need to rent out your apartment to drifters.
I made a fire with the wood in your bedroom.
That's my dresser!
And your closet door.
You just need an internet connection. Don't get left behind. Start your personal savings plan with the tips and tools on feedthepig.org. That way, you don't need to sell all your belongings and live in a commune.
These dungarees belong to all of us now, Tom.
Brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
Take a look under your bed. Find stuff under there? What about jobs? No? Now try your basement. There's a pair of overalls that overall you're not so into anymore. A perfectly good laptop that hasn't sat in your lap in months. And even more stuff, but still no jobs? Well, you really have both. See, stuff is defined as household articles considered as a group. Sometimes this stuff is no longer needed. Wait, no longer needed? That can't be right. Because remember those jobs you were looking for? Those are really needed, and they're the stuff inside your stuff. Even inside that winter coat that moved with you to Phoenix. Our job is to unlock those jobs, and it starts when you donate your stuff to your local Goodwill. Here's how we do it. When you donate to Goodwill, we sell your stuff to provide job training for people right here in your community. So just by teaming up with Goodwill, you help create jobs. And isn't that worth parting with the leftover guitar from your 80s cover band? Goodwill. Donate stuff, create jobs. Find your nearest donation center at goodwill.org. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Ellen Nathan Show. I'm Karen Cataline, and we are wrapping up this hour with a continuation of a discussion we're having with Jason Storm, in quotes, Nelson, Marine Corps and Army. Okay, you told me it isn't Special Forces. What was it? I didn't write it down. I forgot. Jason?
It's special operations. Don't worry about
special
it.
Special okay. operations. Yeah.
You know, the difference between special operations and special forces is one of us kicks doors, the other one talks about the door that just got kicked in.
I love it. That's important for us to know. And I did write it down now. Special operations and a disabled veteran. Thanks for staying with us and helping us kind of wrap up the show. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. There's a lot of great things in the world that people need to be exposed to, and you're doing that. You're showing people the truth, and you know, so few people are willing to just stand by the truth anymore.
It's got to be, for all of us, something I call the curse of awareness. Got to be really tough for a veteran such as yourself to watch what's happening to our country. It's not like we're all upset about a hangnail. We're upset about the disintegration of some of our most deeply held values. My parents and grandparents were anti-communist and were willing to go to war to stop a tyranny and a communist regime from, and here we are, you know, going that direction from within. What do you say about that? How do you keep going? And maybe give us some advice for the rest of us who are watching this, who do have a curse of awareness, but who don't want to just stand by, watch it happen. What do you recommend?
You know, you bring up such a valid and interesting point, this curse of awareness. I had an opportunity when I was downrange in Afghanistan to realize, have a self-realization that that we were protecting child traffickers, that we were being ordered to do so, and that it was, we were told it was due to quote-unquote customs. We weren't here to fix that problem. And I realized that, you know, there was obviously ulterior motives behind many things. But in this instance, turning a blind eye to just straight evil, you can't unsee that. And whether you know the history of the Tuskegee Project or this, you know, anything in between, we recognize that our government is capable of a lot of evil. And what prevents it more than not is individual citizens who, whether it be through FOIA requests or through being active and social media, through media, getting involved in politics, whether it be a local school board on up, I think that we see that people are able to generate change and generate correction. And then a lot of us stand back and then we go, okay, well, here's the problem with our side. We are the producers, period. We are the producers in this nation. We are the people who get things done. We're the business owners. We are the people who make deals that move food and other things across this nation. I mean, I could just – I always laugh and jokingly say I get less X on, you know, formerly Twitter, interaction during the day, and the reason why is because everyone I know is working. And I think that's a burden we share, right? We have to go, well, how can I get involved? And yet every aspect of our lives that we complain about, there's a role for us. There's a way to be a volunteer on election day. There's a way to be to work to get people you know, registered to vote. Somebody asked me, well, are you going to vote? They cheat in elections. And I said, yes, I'm going to vote because I can't argue that they cheated in the election if I didn't vote, right? Mm-hmm. You know, we created a business over at Prepper.
But you're telling the truth about it.
Oh, sorry.
Just as a point of information. It is very frustrating when people are unwilling to admit it or even say that it's we're not allowed to question it. I love it in a free country. They tell you we have to protect democracy. You're not allowed to question anything. So you're exactly right. You have to vote, especially if you're worried, because it's harder to cheat when you do. That's a whole nother subject. But
you brought up a very interesting point. So let's say, so again, I do everything in my life to lead the movement, whether it's my business, my personal life, my charity. It's everything I can to push forward all the things I care about. But you just brought up a really interesting point. I'm going to go back to my PSYOP background here real quick. It's very hard to argue with people who have been indoctrinated, who mostly due to shame, right? People don't like to feel stupid. They don't like to feel like they put their faith in something and then they're told clearly that you were lied to. They want to backtrack. They want to create. So what I like to, what we like to do in SOP is you've got to create a soft landing zone. Do you know what I mean by that? It's almost like putting a bunch of pillows behind somebody. So when you knock them over, they land comfortably and maybe they even turn around and look and go, oh, wait a minute. There's a bunch of pillows you're about to knock me onto. I mean, you don't want to surprise them with it. You give them a soft landing zone and you say to them, I'm going to allow you to change positions rather than me going, I was right or anything like that. I'm just going to shift you over and you're going to land in this pile of pillows and you're going to be comfortable and now you're going to be willing to listen. And I think as conservatives, one of the things that we need to do more than anything is understand the thinking or lack of thinking that many of these people have and then create a soft landing zone. For example, if someone uses institutions that they have faith in to create facts that they then stand behind, and you find out that those institutions are have violated their oaths. They're not doing their job. Well, how do you get somebody to get to a soft landing? Well, you can show them other leading institutions, show them the validity behind it, show them that, hey, maybe you just put your faith in the wrong institution. You want to be all science. Here's science, and here's your soft landing zone, and here's where these people lied. You start to tear down the structures of the things they believed in. You show the corruption. You show the incestuous relationship between Pfizer and the FDA, things like that. And then when you give them that soft landing point, all of a sudden they go, okay, you're not blaming me. I don't need to feel shame because there were lots of doctors that got it wrong, but here's a whole other group of doctors that I believe. And then all of a sudden they fall over and they land in those pillows and they go, oh, okay, well, what else do you have to say to me? I've seen this more and more in arguments, and I think that as conservatives, we need to recognize if you hated being wrong, and if you would hate for someone to tear down an institution that you had such faith in, you need to understand that it's okay. It's okay for people to be wrong, and we can help them.
I guess we'll have to get there, but it's really wonderful to have you. Jason Storm Nelson, how do people find you, follow you?
You can find me at @RealJasonNelson on X, or you could go to PrepperBeef.com and support our disabled veteran-owned company that's here for you.
Oh, we do. And thank you for your service, Jason. Thank you for joining us. Well, that does it for this edition of The Alan Nathan Show. Stay strong, speak out, be well.
The opinions you hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. So please, consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-719-0433 or at our website, mainstreetradionetwork.com.